blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 208, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Among his people, God is known, most glorious in his might and grace. He makes Jerusalem his throne, her peaceful hills his dwelling place. 208, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Revelation, thereof the 11th chapter, Revelation chapter 11. But first, and we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, solemn is thy word in testifying of all that is coming here upon this world, when thou wilt draw all things here below to a close, and when thou wilt roll together the heavens as a scroll, then there is to go before it a tribulation that will be known and experienced in the life of thy church, even to that extent wherein thy own witnesses shall be put to death, and the enemy shall rejoice over their dead bodies. And then it will come in the life of thy church to an end from their own side, so that their power is taken away. Lord, then it is a church that will learn to look up unto thee. For thou hast all power in heaven and in earth, and thou wilt show thyself as he that does reign over all things. Thou wilt bring the wickedness of the wicked upon their own heads, and thou wilt deliver thy own church from all that oppress them, and that thou may look upon thy own church in the days in which we live with our dear children, and that thou may increase the number of thy people, and that it may also be from among us, and that this world may not have the preeminence, and that our hearts may not be drawn after all that is vanishing away, but that the many callings that come to us continually, also the weaknesses of our own bodies, and which speak unto us day by day, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live, that those callings may be heeded by us, that we may not put them away, but that thou may bring them in our hearts by thy Spirit and thy mercy,
Lord, give us eyes to see what a danger that we are in our natural state, that we cannot die as we have been born, and that our hearts may truly become savingly concerned by the power of thy Spirit in the days in which we live with our children, that thou may give instruction to each and every one of us, that thou may give life from the dead, that we may begin to feel, that we may begin to see, to hear, and that the concern may be wrought in our own souls, and that a cry may go out to thee, who alone can deliver us from all our iniquities and all the misery that has come upon us because of our own sin. Lord, we do not feel it by nature. Oh, then we are as a stock and as a block in this world, and we go on without any concern, thinking that tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant in this world. There is in us no desire after thee. The spiritual things, they are so foreign to our hearts, and the natural things, they are so dear unto us. Lord, then wilt thou give us new life, that thou may give us new desires, new longings, new hungerings and thirstings and pantings after thee. Oh, that we may know also the desire of thy true church, which thou hast given may be expressed in thy holy word. It is a desire after the true and the living God, that we may be reconciled unto thee again. Lord, then what is necessary in our life? Oh, then it is more than a natural understanding. It is more than just a temporal setback in our life. But it is the power of thy Holy Spirit that needs to overcome the death of our soul. We need new life. We need to be born again. And we need power from above. We need that which is supernatural. Oh, that thou may remember us with our dear children. Lord, we look up unto thee in this afternoon hour, that thou may come with thy Spirit and bring that to us that we will never bring of ourselves, that we cannot give to ourselves, and that we that which we reject of our own natural hearts. But wilt thou become too strong for us, and that thou may stop us upon our mad career, and that thou may turn us about, and that thou may draw us unto thyself in mercy. Oh, look on us with our dear children. Instruct them too, O Lord. Instruct them in the days of their youth, and give them to remember their Creator. Oh, that they may be given to see already when they are so very young, that this world is passing away, and that they may feel something of the vanity, that it is not fulfilling that which the heart does stand in need of, the deepest yearnings of the heart after God. Oh, that those may be felt and may be experienced, that this world indeed may be experienced as so vain and empty, that the desires may go out after that which is true, after that which is substance, after that which will never pass away. Lord, that thou may instruct them in the days of their youth. Remember, therefore, our own school also, in the need and in the circumstances wherein we are. Thou knowest, Lord, the great need, because there are not sufficient of those that may go before our children in the classrooms from day to day. Oh, is it not thee who hast helped in the past to supply for us? Lord, we beg of thee, and that thou may look on us again, and that thou may remember us, according to thy mercies. We do not deserve it. Oh, thou knowest the hardness of our hearts. Thou knowest our worldliness, our carnality, and our sin. But oh, that thou may not deal with us after our iniquities, and that thou may remember us yet in mercy, and provide for us in our need, that thou may give also those of our own students that may feel something of a burden, and that it may be laid upon their shoulders also, those whom thou may raise up, that they may go before our children day by day. And in that great responsibility, may thou help our teachers as they stand before our children, and when they will influence them for a great part in this world. Then, Lord, their place is so very, very great. Oh, that thou may give them to feel something of the weight of the labors of their hands, and that they may take their need also and lay it before thee in their own secret chambers, and that the children also may remember their teachers in their secret places before thee, and that thou may give that all together thy Spirit may dwell in that place, and strengthen those that labor therein and therefore, also our school board, and all decisions that they must make, that thou may give them the fear of thee, that they may be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and that thou may look upon parents also, that we may not leave the responsibility that rightfully lays upon us as parents in the hands of office bearers, in the hands of our school, but that it may be bound upon our own hearts, and that their responsibility also may be taken up into our own hands for the education of our children. Oh, make us to be faithful to warn and to instruct and to lead, to take by the hand, not in the places of vanity, and to follow after this world and worldly ways, but to walk according to thy commandments. Lord, may thou go before this nation and these nations in which we dwell, wherein Satan seems to be given a free rein. Lord, bring not thy judgments over us in the days in which we live, wherein sin that is walked in such an open and a daring and a brazen way before thee. Lord, could it please thee to stop us? Oh, have dealings with us, but bring us not to a full end. But come unto us in thy mercy, and wilt thou stop us in our way and bring us back again to thy word and to thy testimonies. Remember all that are at war, all soldiers who are on duty, and that thou may keep them in safety and bring them safely home again to their loved ones at thy appointed time. Do look upon all missionaries and all that labor on behalf of the ignorant in this world. O bring thy word even unto the ends of the world, and that the nations may be brought in, and that thy kingdom may come. Lord, that thou may remember all vacant congregations who have no under shepherd to go before them, and that thou may provide also in the time that is before us, when next week that we hope to meet as a curatorium. Lord, could it yet please thee to give some to come forward? Oh, that thou may bind it yet on the hearts of men, and that there may be those who cannot stay away. Lord, remember us also in our meeting, and that thou may supply in any decisions that must be made, and that thou mayst so go before us as, say, a denomination. Remember all thy sent servants, strengthen and help them. And wilt thou be with our own brother elders in this day, where they do labor close by, and also him, and that labors on the mission field in these weeks. Lord, that thou mayst strengthen him and help him from above, and all that labor in any way in thy kingdom, wilt thou go before us. Oh, that thou may be with us in this afternoon hour, that thou may give us a little freedom, a little liberty in thy word, a little opening, and that the matters that do dwell in the hearts of this flock may be proclaimed from the housetops, and that thou may give instruction to thy children, and that thou may forgive and keep us from all iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 275, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thou, Lord, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou enthroned above the skies, wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 275, 1, 3, and 4. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So it has been written by the Apostle John, the last time. What is congregation meant in God's word when it speaks about the last time? Well, the last time is the time after that the Lord Jesus has come into this world, and he has merited the salvation of his church, that he has again ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of his Father. Thus it is the last time before that the final dispensation or the eternal dispensation of the kingdom of God shall take place. That which shall never change anymore. Thus, we live together not in the time of the prophesying of his first coming, not in the time that he appeared, but in the time that he has already ascended. We live with our children in the last time, and this world shall see no other time after this one. There were, we know, five steps in the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were and are four steps in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is now, in the last time, this last time, only one step of the exaltation of Christ, which has yet to be fulfilled. And what is that step? That step is his second coming. Thus, what shall be the difference in the things in this world concerning the kingdom of God, when the Lord Jesus is now at the right hand of his Father and greatly exalted in that place? What shall be the difference when the last step of the exaltation of Christ shall take place? Even in this day, not only when he came in the state of his humiliation, but also in this day, the great glory of Christ is for a large part hidden. But when the last step of the exaltation of Christ shall take place, then it will not only be visible to his church as it was in his resurrection to his disciples, and it will not only be known in heaven as it was in his ascension and his sitting at the right hand of his Father, but the great glory of God is going to be seen and known also upon the earth. Then we read, every knee is going to bow before him. And this we wish to consider together in this afternoon out of Heidelberg, our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 19, question 52. Lord's Day 19, question 52. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? Answer, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. So far, our Lord's Day. How the second coming of Christ is a comfort for his church. First, on account of the person who is coming. Second, on account of the capacity in which he is coming. Third, on account of the consequences of his coming. How the second coming of Christ is a comfort for his church. First, on account of the person who is coming. Second, on account of the capacity in which he is coming. And third, on account of the consequences of his coming. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? Is the congregation a comfort to thee? Who of us is able to say such a thing? That is not a light thing. Then something has to be known to us if the second coming of Christ is indeed going to be to us a comfort. Is it a comfort to us if we are faithful in coming to God's house? Then is it a comfort to us that Christ is coming to judge the quick and the dead? Is it a comfort to us if we may live outwardly in this world according to that holy word of God? Oh, then we can know within our own heart the answer to this solemn question. Is it a comfort to us if we have received a new heart? Is it a comfort to us if we have been born again? Oh, then perhaps we can also answer such a question. We have, of course, to be careful, because from the side of the Lord, then regeneration is sufficient. But how is it now from the side of men? Our fathers are not asking about our safety. Our safety that is attained already in our new birth. Our safety that is attained already in our engrafting into Christ. Our safety that is already in the implanting of faith. But our fathers are not asking after our safety. What are they asking after? They are asking after our comfort. Thus, to be born again, indeed, that is for our safety. But when we may be born again, or when we may think about Rahab once again in this afternoon, or when she has heard those tidings, when the Lord has struck her heart with the reality of her life,
when the Lord has struck her, so that she may believe that the God of Israel is the God of the heavens and of the earth, then this is not a woman in this state and condition that for herself can die, that she may look forward with comfort to the coming, to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, what do we need then? What do we need that this second coming of Christ may be to us a comfort? Then it is necessary that we know something of this person who is coming. Then our fathers there speaking out of the assurance of faith, that is not something and that we hear is possessed by so many of God's church in our days. And yet, it is indeed something that is attainable by the true church of God while they are still here upon the earth. That in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me. There are those of God's true church who are very fearful of this second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why are they so fearful? It is because they do not know this second person. And if we do not know this second person and the substance of what this second person has wrought for the soul of his church, then we cannot be looking forward unto his second coming. And then when we are considering the second coming of Christ, then it means that we must meet our Maker, that we must meet our Creator. And what do we read? It is a fearful thing. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Because that living God is a consuming fire. And we are not able to meet Him without a mediator. But our fathers are speaking here about a comfort. A comfort in the meditation of the second coming, the consideration of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus they say that there is a great comfort in the knowledge of this person. And why? Then they explain further that with the knowledge of this person comes also the knowledge of the removal of the curse. Who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me. Curse. Do we know something in a personal way of what a curse is? No, do we know something in a personal way of what the curse is? Thus, what it means to lie under the curse of God. What a misery is that man in that is lying under this curse and has for himself no knowledge, no impression of what this curse is. That goes over this world completely oblivious to the threatenings of the wrath of God that are lying upon us from that moment that we are born. Our greatest misery, as our fathers have often expressed it, and that is that we do not know our misery. Thus our fathers, they are speaking according to the word of God about the curse. And what does God's word say? upon whom is lying this curse. You say, does that curse also lie upon me? That curse is lying upon everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That curse is not lying only upon those that are lying in the prisons in this world. No, those have been condemned by men. But those who continue not in all things, not in some things, but in everything, in all things, thus those who have not come up to an absolute perfect obedience to that law of God. And lying upon each and every one of us then is the curse, that wrath of God. And now what do our fathers speak about? Our fathers are speaking about the removal of this curse. Blessed is such a man from whom the curse of God, from whom that wrath of God has been removed. And blessed is such a man that may also know something of the removal of this curse. Thus the removal of that curse, that is giving the safety of man, but the knowledge of this removal, that is the comfort of that true people of the Lord. But congregation, how can we know? How can we know that the curse is removed, when we have never known and felt and experienced that curse that is actually lying upon us in the first place? Oh, then how we need to ask the Lord to uproot our false foundations, our foundations whereon that we are going over this world with so much peace and so much carelessness, as if tomorrow that is always going to be as today, and as if the end of this world that is never going to come, and as if that we never have to die. Oh, that curse. When the Lord will give that curse to be known in our life, then we will begin to seek that curse also may be taken away. And it is in the knowledge of that second person of that divine Trinity. It is in the knowledge of that blessed mediator that curse may be experienced also to be removed in the life of his church. And then they may receive a comfort. Then they may receive a comfort that is not known by this world. Though they have to walk through so very many trials, perhaps in this life. So our instructors speak about it, that in all my sorrows and persecutions, and with uplifted head I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake. Sorrows. Persecutions, that is, congregation, what this life consists of or not. Or we may with our children live in such a time, we may live in such a day of prosperity that sometimes we can see so very little of sorrows and of persecutions in this world. But our blessed time, that may be for us our greatest curse. And indeed, then each one in this world will experience in this time something of these sorrows that are the result of our own sin. Solomon says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. And there is one event to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. That is, there is one event to the religious man and to the man that is living his life only in this world. Oh, there is one event. And then man has to experience something of the results of his sin, the consequences of his sin in this world, the sorrows due to the weaknesses of the body, the sorrows due to the losses of our loved ones. And so we can go on and on with the sorrows that have to be experienced by man because of sin in this world. And yet, God's children, they will be brought in a very special way through sorrows and persecutions. Why? Because that is a life that is laid away for God's true church. Because the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that it is through much tribulation that you shall enter into that kingdom of God. That is sometimes in a providential way. That the cross providences in the life of God's children in this world are so very, very many. But that will be so, especially in a spiritual way. Because it is a church that will have a burden that this world does not know. And the Lord Jesus said, they have persecuted me, and therefore they are also going to persecute you. That is, the prince of darkness himself, and all whom he will use as his instruments. Why? Why is it that the Lord has laid away such a life, that the Lord has given such a lot to his children in this world? The Lord has a purpose. Because when we are honest, then also that true church of God, when they are left without trial and they are left without tribulation in this world, and then they are indeed making this world their home, then how often are they not going with Lot to live even in the Sodom in this world? That they are feeling comfortable in this world? And that they are increasing in their riches and in their dealings with sinful men in this world? But the Lord will make them tired. The Lord will make them tired of themselves. The Lord will make them tired of sin. The Lord will make them tired of this world. Why? That they may long, that they may hunger, that they may thirst after another world. That in all their sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, they may look for Christ. As our fathers say, to come again. And what did the Lord Jesus say? When all these things begin to come to pass, and when he spoke about the end of time, then he said, lift up your heads. Then he said, look up, because then your redemption draweth nigh. Then there is going to be for that people deliverance from what? From all their sorrows and from all their persecutions. Was that so for the disciples at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was not. No, indeed, they looked for this. They looked indeed that they may be delivered from all their persecutors, from all of their enemies. But they were not. They were not delivered from the Romans. And why not? Because he did not come the first time to deliver them from the Romans. But he came to deliver them from sin. But now when he comes again, in his second coming, then he is going to come in a different capacity. That is our second thought, how the coming of Christ is a comfort for his church on account of the capacity in which he is coming. Thus, he is going to come in a different capacity as he has come before. Before, he came in the state of his humiliation that was necessary. Necessary that he may place himself under the law. Necessary in order that he may suffer. In order that he may die. In order that he may pay the price for his church. But now in that state, justice was not completely carried out. Then he actually allowed all injustice to overcome him. At least from the side of men, so it seemed, because indeed, when we look deeper at his work, then indeed he was carrying out justice. Indeed, he was fulfilling justice the first time that he came. He was fulfilling the justice of his Father on behalf of his church. But how did it look in this world? Then it was not justice that was carried out in this court of Pilate. No, but that the innocent one permitted himself to be mocked, permitted himself to be smitten, permitted himself to be scourged, permitted himself to be sentenced to death and to be put to death. No, then, the right that was not carried out, but the wrong has transpired in the eyes of men. Oh, then the disciples, they were in fear. That was not only in the world, but that was also even in the church. Then they even feared the very officers within the church. They are offended even. The disciples, why? Because that the Lord Jesus did not carry out his justice. Because the Lord Jesus would not even permit Peter to take out his sword. And they say, this is right. And thou hast all of the power. But in his second coming, it is going to be so very, very different. How will it be so very, very different? He is going to come in a different capacity. He is going to come as judge, to judge our Father's say, to come as judge from heaven. What does that mean? He will come as the same person. When he has ascended into heaven, then the angels came to comfort his church. And what did they say to the disciples? They said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, he shall come in like manner. Thus, it shall be the very same person that is coming again, the angel said, but he is going to have such a different task. The task of the Lord Jesus, and when he was upon this world, was not fully understood by his disciples. No, they thought that he ought to carry out justice, that they ought to call a fire from heaven to come and to smite those who would not receive the Lord Jesus in this world. And now the Lord Jesus had to rebuke them. And he had to explain to them what his task was when he has come the first time in the way of his humiliation. That he did not come to destroy men's lives, but he came to save them. Then he has said it also unto the Pharisees and the scribes, to his disciples, to the multitudes, that the Lord Jesus, he is not come in a state of his humiliation to be their judge, but he need no longer come to save his church. He need no longer come to save the world, because this work, he has said, it is finished. But now he will come to judge the world. And when he will come to judge the world, then he is no longer going to hide his glory. That is a glory that was hidden, greatly hidden in the days of his humiliation. That is a glory that is still so very hidden. So hidden that men, they are walking in such great extremes of open iniquity in the world in which we live, because they do not perceive the great glory wherewith Christ is glorified at the right hand of his Father. And because they are not fearful, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, and therefore the hearts of the sons of men is set in them to do evil. But when the Lord Jesus comes the second time, when he returns again upon the clouds, then he is going to come in his great glory. Then it is not going to be hid anymore. But then the archangels and the saints are going to appear with him in the clouds. Or when he comes again, then he is not going to conceal that power. Oh, it was a power that he had when he was here upon the world. A power that we may have seen just by moments. When he may raise the dead, when he may cure the sick, when he may grant true conversions, when he may convince the hearts of men. But a power which he did not execute against his enemies, but he was as a lamb that before her shearers is dumb, was not opening his mouth. But now when he is coming the second time, then he is going to come in his glory, and then he is going to come also to show and to execute his great power. And then he is going to come as king. Then he is going to hold out his golden scepter. And then we read that all nations, they are going to be before him as nothing. And they are going to be counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. They are going to be just as a drop in a bucket. They are going to be just as that small dust that is in a balance. He is going to take up the isles, we read, as a very little thing. Oh, that is now the great difference between the states of his exaltation, the first three states of his exaltation, and the last step of his exaltation. That the glory and power of Christ, that is now going to be public. And it is going to be made known and seen in this world. In that day, all men, we read, and angels, they are going to come before his throne. There are going to be none that are missing. Of men, we read, the living are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Of the dead, we read, they are going to be raised up. All in the graves are going to hear his voice. And they shall come forth and stand with you and I before the judgment seat of God. And congregation, what is it now that is going to be brought before us on that great day? It is this. It is this holy word of God. It is His law that will be the standard of His judgment. Thus, it is not something that we will not know. No, but it is that which is before us every day. It is that which perhaps is laying upon our shelves, gathering dust in our homes day by day, that is going to be laid open before us, before this great judge. The heathen do not have this word. And yet that same law that is written upon their hearts and that is showing itself within the consciences of the heathen, that they may be convicted of their wrongs even though they have so much ignorance. But now we who have His law, we are also going to be judged according to this law. And to whom much is given, we read in God's word, also much is going to be required. Out of this word, we have heard. We have heard the law. We have heard the gospel. Then that will be laid out to us. It will be laid out to us, that holy law of God, from commandment to commandment. We read it, children, every Sabbath day. And then it is going to be presented to us by that great judge, who will require of us that perfect obedience. And then He is going to ask it of us, because we have been created in that perfect, blessed image of God. How will it be when we stand there and He asks us concerning our deeds, concerning our words, concerning our thoughts? Oh, the omniscience of God that is going to be exalted in that day, because the judges of this world, they need witnesses in this world. But He does not need a witness, because He is Himself witness. Everything that has gone on within our own conscience, that is known by Him, all of our secret sins, they are all going to be brought before Him. All that holy law of God, how seriously do we consider that holy law of God when we walk every day over this world? Or is that something that we only read in the church and read in our homes? And it is not only His law that will be laid before us. That same law that is written in the heart of the heathen. But more will be laid before us. That is His gospel. Because in the sending of His Son, what does the Lord say to us? In the sending of His Son, the Lord says to us that we need a mediator. That this is the only way that He can be reconciled to us, and that we can be reconciled to Him. That is through a mediator. Thus He requires us to acknowledge something. He requires us to acknowledge our deep fall. He requires us to acknowledge that we are not able to save ourselves. Then we are required by Him to seek this mediator, whom He Himself has given, that we may be saved from all our iniquity. James says, if we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. How will it be when law and gospel is laid before us, by the great judge in this day of days. Let us sing Psalter 139, 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silent shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3 through 6 of 139. Our last thought, how the second coming of Christ is a comfort for his church on account of the consequences of his coming. And what does our catechism say about the consequences of the coming of Christ? Who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation? But shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself.
into heavenly joys and glory. In the day that Christ returns, congregation, then the justice of God is going to be glorified. Then all justice is going to be meted out in this world to the righteous and to the wicked. Does not take place in this world. Doesn't take place in this world by the earthly judges, but the great judge is coming. Solomon says, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. That is not new. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. What does that mean? That the Lord is going to come and he is going to do righteousness. Now his church, they are afflicted. But Solomon, he has considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun and the tears of such, he says, that were oppressed. And those that were oppressed, he said, they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors, there was power. And then he praised the dead that were already dead, more than those who were still alive. What an awful thing. And when in the place of judgment, there is iniquity. But congregation, the Lord is coming. And now the devil, he is today still able to bring his devices against the church of God, as he may bring them against Job. But soon the time is coming that he will not be able to do so anymore. But when Satan himself is going to be cast out into that eternal darkness, and then all the persecutors of that church of God are going to be judged, even from the beginning, from Cain who slew his brother, even unto that last Antichrist. And Jezebel's false witnesses are all going to be exposed. God is going to deliver all of his Naboths, and all the devil's false accusations are never going to trouble that true church of God anymore. But that church is going to be delivered from all that hate them, even as the church was delivered in the days of Mordecai out of the hand of Haman. That will also be from that merely professing church. They are not going to be able to mock anymore from their high places. And all the paninas, they are going to, with all their natural fruits, they are all going to be cast away. And all those fruitless ones in themselves, all those who are mocked with Hannah of old, are going to be delivered from all the tauntings of all those who are so high in themselves. Oh, in that day, the stranger is going to be delivered, we read, from those that vex him. Oh, then the Lord is going to stand so evidently and openly for those that are oppressed and for those who are not able to defend themselves, for the widows, for the fatherless. And then that great oppression also of sin in the life of God's true church is going to be done away. Oh, when Satan, he is not able to incite that old man anymore, because that old man is going to be laid in the grave, and he is never more going to resurrect his head in the life of God's true people, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation. What does that mean? That means that they are never, never, never going to be seen away, as seen again by the true church of God. They are not only the enemies of the people, but they are the enemies of the Lord himself. And the Lord has said,
and that Satan was going to bruise the heel of Christ. And so it will be even unto the end of this world, when he is going to persecute that church of God in an outward way and also in an inward way. But finally he is going to be cast into his eternal place. And then the Lord is going to say, "Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity." And he is going to appoint them their portion with the hypocrites, so that there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joys and glory. O congregation, here is a speaking out of the assurance of faith. Oh, is this not a blessed gift? Is this not a great comfort in the life of God's children? He does not only say all his chosen ones, oh Rahab, she says your God, but then there will come a time also for those Rahabs that they may be able to say my God. And so our fathers are speaking all his chosen ones, not only, but also me. Oh, Islam says that we can never know it. A man can never know when he is, if truly he shall be saved. But the Lord is giving comfort, true comfort, in the life of his church. No, we do not say they can always believe it. But there is certainty in every act of true saving faith in the life of God's church. And there is, in addition, that blessed gift of the assurance of faith. Oh, that is not a light thing. That is a blessed gift in the life of the church of God in this world. Oh, we can pretend that we may have comfort and rest and assurance with all our superficial words. But congregation, it gives no true comfort within our heart. But when the Lord will speak in all our trials, in all our tribulations, then there is comfort for a sorrowing soul. And now, what a wonder if we may be known of this judge before that he is coming to judge the quick and the dead on that last day of days. There is no respect of persons with him. We read that in the Word of God. But he knows every one of his own sheep. And it is for those that he has come into this world to pay that price for sin. And now, to be known of him, oh, to be known of him, that is the most important matter in our life. But now to know him, that is now a further blessing, a further benefit, not for our safety, but for our comfort. And therefore, oh, is there not so much for that church of God yet to be seeking, that they might make their calling and election sure? But congregation, if we are not even known of him, oh, then how awful shall that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ be. Oh, to not be known of him, and then to hear in that day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, does he know of us? We read of the children of Israel. We read that their cry, oh, their cry that came up before God. Is that also true of us? Does he know of us, congregation? Does he know of us in heaven? Does our cry, oh, does our cry penetrate even through unto God himself? Oh, Job, he says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, oh, be at rest. Be therefore reconciled to God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O that thou may remember us, Lord, bless thy own word. We are creatures that go over this world so careless, and thy word does declare so openly that thou art coming. It declares so openly that thou didst come the first time in thy humiliation. Oh, then thou wast as a sheep before her shears, but thou art coming again. And then thou wilt show thy glory and thy power. And how shall we fare in that great day? Oh, bind it, Lord, bind it upon our hearts, that we would have no rest for the sole of our foot, until that we may know also for me. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Be with us in our homes or in thy house. Strengthen thy servants in the bringing of thy word in this night. And wilt thou bless the reading that we may do also if we are in our own homes. Keep us from all iniquity and sin, that we may keep thy Sabbath day holy, and that thou may give thy indispensable blessing. Remember us when we are parted from one another again in the week to come, when we must travel to serve another congregation, when we must attend a curatorium meeting, Lord. Bring us safely together again at thy time. Strengthen those that must lead. And help us each one in our place in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 253, 1, 2, 3, and 7. O Lord, thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong, arise and show thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. 1, 2, 3, and 7 of 253. Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.